What an amazing day we have arrived at. What an amazing time. What a remarkable confluence of events brings us to this moment, this week, where we celebrate the life and the legacy of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, and we inaugurate the first president of color in the history of the United States of America. It is, political considerations completely aside, a remarkable moment at which we have arrived. But it is important at this time when we remember Dr. King and his I Have a Dream speech and his dream that we don't feel that we have entered the promised land, that we do not believe that that dream has become a reality. We are arriving. We have not arrived. We have not overcome, but we are overcoming the historic legacy of slavery, of prejudice, of racism. It certainly has not been accomplished. There is still racism in our society. There may even be racism in little corners of our hearts that we don't want to look at. There is sexism. There is homophobia. There is classism. There are all kinds of ways in which we keep ourselves apart from the wholeness of being people together in a common pursuit of a world and a society that is more abundant for all. But we have come a very long way. And I think that today it is fair to say that Dr. King's dream has become more the dream of more people than we ever dreamed of at the time that we heard that speech. I think that it's fair to say that while that dream has not been realized, that dream has become more mainstream and more part of our aspirations and not of the fears of the people. That dream lives, and we believe it to be closer today than it was before, and that we are higher on that mountaintop from which Dr. King could see that promised land than we have ever been before in the history of this nation. We mark something pretty special, but it's not an end. Winston Churchill said after the British victory in the Battle of El Alamein that this is not the end. This is not even the beginning of the end, but it is perhaps the end of the beginning. In terms of civil rights and racism, I think we are more advanced than England was after the Battle of El Alamein. I think that this is the beginning of the end of that hideous institution and tradition that is racism. We have come a long way together, and there's much work to do. Dr. King was a remarkable figure, made remarkable because he did not listen to the common wisdom of the naysayers who gave him good political advice, who told him, the people aren't ready. Yes, your cause is just. Yes, there will be a day for liberty. There will be a day for equality. But you can't move people along too fast. Step back, please. Do not rock the boat too much, or there'll be a backlash. It will slow down your efforts. If the perfect is the enemy of the good, then common wisdom is the enemy of the great things that we can accomplish if we have the courage to dream and to stand by our dreams and to work for those dreams. The people that stood in his way, the people who stood in our way as a society, often were not the people who were the haters. They were not the people that said, no, never. Segregation today, tomorrow, and forever, those were obvious targets, and they could be overcome. More difficult to overcome are the naysayers, who don't say no, never, who simply say, not now. This is the wrong time to rock the boat. This is the wrong time to work for human rights. This is the wrong time to work for equal protection for marriage. This is the wrong time to have a peace demonstration. You'll just upset those other people out there. Dr. King did not listen to the sounds of the naysayers. He listened to his own heart, and he put his life on the line to speak his dream, to inspire others to share his dream, and to begin to make it happen in the world. Common wisdom, the oxymoron of common wisdom, is such a problem in social change. If you do the odds, the parimutuels on anything working, you will sit still and somebody else will make the future happen. Somebody else's passion, somebody else's vision will become accomplished because it's not the right time or the odds are far against anything happening. The odds are against everything. They're against any single individual being here today, against any single individual's combination of DNA. They are certainly historically against anybody in the world remembering an obscure carpenter from a far-flung corner of the Roman Empire who never raised an army, who never wrote a book, and yet people seem to remember him. And even more strangely, people remember the tribe from which he came. What were the odds on any of those two things happening? What were the odds, the common wisdom, on a renegade priest nailing his theses to the cathedral door and physically surviving and having his religious vision survive? What were the odds on this young democracy having a tradition of democracy and the peaceful, if not always well counted, handing off of power from one presidency to another over a course of well over 200 years? The odds were not great. There were no historic examples that I know of. The odds are not what you deal with in making social and ethical decisions. It is, when is the right thing to do something? When it's the right time to do something. The odds on Abraham Lincoln ever becoming president, an unlikely candidate from Illinois, an unlovely face, an unpleasing voice, it is reported, and non-traditional theology from American politics. And yet, he was elected, he governed, and he made a decisive difference in the history of this country. What were the odds on Rosa Parks, on any one individual just saying, I'm sitting down and I'm not moving, despite the fact that people say, look, if you get them mad at Montgomery, it's going to set you back. Get to the back of the bus. Get to the back of the bus now. And she didn't. She sat. And she, in that sitting, began to crumble the edifice of legal segregation in our society simply by doing the right thing. What were the odds? Astronomical, incalculable, but absolutely real and true. The odds on Dr. King. A friend of mine went to a postgraduate school with Dr. King and admitted ruefully that he did not see the greatness at the time. He certainly saw a fine mind and an interesting person with some speaking ability, but he didn't stand out from the rest. He obviously had the material. He obviously had the talent within, but it was his courage in standing up at the right time that made the decisive difference in the history of this country. It was his standing up at the right time and articulating a dream and a vision and a program, first about rights for black people and then for poor people and then against the war, where his life and his death and his integrity shown and made such a difference to us, to our world, and to this day that we celebrate in so many ways. It was a remarkable life for the simplicity of just needing the courage to tell his truth and to understand that it is always the right time to do the right thing. It is always the right time to question the people who will say, okay, you're right, but not now. This is not the time to be right. It's always the time to be right. What were the odds on this young man, Barack Hussein Obama II, to get out of Hawaii and get to Occidental and get to Columbia and to Harvard Law and to Chicago and to the Senate? How many things had to happen? How many unlikely, improbable, impossible things had to happen to bring him and us to this day? Life and greatness is not a function of the parimutuel odds. It's a function of, yes, some chance, but it's taking advantage of the chance by living your own values. And that's what Barack Hussein Obama II accomplished by being himself and learning skills and working with what was inside and being in a unique position in many segments of our society. And it has brought him and us to this moment that many did not dare even dream of when Dr. King gave his I Have a Dream speech almost precisely, not quite, but almost precisely 2 years after the birth of Barack Obama. Barack was born in August 1961. The I Have a Dream speech was August 1963. I don't know if Dr. King could have dreamed of this moment. Maybe he did. And here we are, arriving but not having arrived. As many of you know, I have spoken on topics related to this in front of this group from time to time. I have written in the Fullerton Observer about Obama and the election. I've written in the Daily News and on the blog site. And I've gotten a lot of really wonderful letters and affirmations and kudos and well said, and that's what I wanted to say, but you put it into words. And that feels so great. And I've also gotten hate mail. I've gotten vicious, nasty, racist, anti-Semitic hate mail. You're a dupe. You're a dope. You hate America. You hate your own kind. You hate Christianity. You hate Judaism. You hate God. You hate all of these things. Why don't you go back to where you belong? That presents certain booking problems. And those letters were just from the congregation. No, I'm just kidding. It is interesting that almost all hate mail is really badly spelled. And if there's one thing I can say about Unitarian Universalists, you do use spell check. So, you know. There have been some comments from time to time from Unitarians, but not in this congregation. And it shows that there still is hate. There still is fear. There still is fear of change and hatred of the other. That we have not arrived, but are always arriving. And yet, oh happy day. Oh happy day, because I feel now that we have, in fact, been to that mountaintop. And I feel that our children and our grandchildren will arrive someday at a truly post-racial American society. Won't mean all our problems and all our phobias and all our fears are ever finished, because they won't be. But there are some victories that are in sight. There are some dreams that we now share as normative. There are a lot of obstacles between where we stand today and that promised land. There will be setbacks. There will be thorns. There will be problems. There will be tears. But today, I think most of us can see from this mountaintop, from this amazing moment, that promised land. I swear to you that I can smell its fragrance, and that the better angels of our natures are singing us a song, beckoning us on with hope and with happy hearts.